Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, today I'm believing for each and every one of us to receive a touch from Jesus, a special touch that is going to heal you, revive you, deliver you, empower you, cause you to feel and experience His love in a special, special way. You know, the Bible says that everyone Jesus touched was healed, and everything Jesus touched was blessed. Everything Jesus touched got better. He touched them and they were healed. He touched the coffin and the boy rose from the dead. He touched the clay and it was remade. He touched the ears and they were opened. He touched the eyes and they could see. He touched Peter's boat and fish jumped in it. He touched the boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish and they were multiplied. Whatever we put into His hands, He multiplies, He raises, He heals, He blesses. Jesus put His life in the hands of the Father. It says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, where He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit," and breathed His last. Remember, He put His life in the Father's hands at the last moment of His life. And what happened? Whatever He put in the Father's hands, the Father raised, the Spirit of God raised. Whatever we put in the hands of Jesus, whatever we put in the hands of God, whatever we trust Him with, He's going to heal it, He's going to bless it, He's going to make it better. Remember, the ministry of Jesus is the ministry to the soul, to the mind to think, the heart to feel, the will to decide. Jesus' ministry affects our emotions. His ministry affects our body. His ministry affects our destiny. It affects everyone in our lives. You see, your spirit is born again the moment you accept Jesus. But all the activity of failure, all the activity of demonic oppression, shame, guilt, condemnation, fear, it all takes place in our soul. It takes place in our mind. It takes place in our heart. That's why I want you to receive this touch from Jesus. I want to particularly point out this amazing scripture that I'm going to come to in a few moments in Mark chapter 8. But you see, when you are touched by God, when you receive His touch, when you let Him touch you, I have so many scriptures that I could share with you, but just to give you a few examples that Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1, verse 31. He came, took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And in Mark chapter 7, on another occasion, He helped a man who was deaf and mute. Taking him aside, He put His fingers into his ears. He spat and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, He sighed and said to him, "Be opened," and he was healed. Then there was the case of the blind man that I'm going to come to in a moment in Mark chapter 8. Let me jump over to Mark chapter 9, verse 27, about the boy who was tormented by demonic epileptic seizures, who convulsed and lay as dead. And it says, "But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose." How many are ready for Jesus to take you by the hand, to lift you up, and you arise from whatever has laid you out, whatever has hurt you, whatever has tripped you, whatever has broken you, whatever has discouraged you or caused you to want to quit? It's time for a touch from Jesus, a touch from our Savior. Well, when is there not a time? Every moment is a time to let Him touch you and to touch Him back with your worship, with your praise, with your giving, with your generosity, with your worship and adoration of Him. But another place in Scripture, it says that in Mark chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus took the little girl who was Jairus' daughter, and Jesus, taking her by the hand, said, "Talitha kumai," which is, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the Bible says, and she did, in Mark chapter 5, verse 41. So Jesus touching the suffering, the sick, the broken, the blind, the poor, everyone He touched got better. Everything He touched got better. There is nothing that Jesus touches that won't get better. He touched your soul one day and you were saved. He touched your heart one day and you opened it. Everything he touched, and your life has gotten better. You think about what your life was like without him, and now think about what your life is like with him in it. Certainly may not be all together yet, but we're in a journey and we're in a process, and we're making progress, because progress comes from the process, right? But it doesn't come from religion. Progress doesn't come from religion. Healing doesn't come from religion. The problem with religion is the attempt to change people's behavior without touching them, without them experiencing the touch to their mind, their thinking, the way they see things, the way they look at life, their perspective. And I want to change that today, and I want to help you heal today. I want to help you receive the touch of Jesus today, because your breakthrough is on the other side of your thinking and opening up your mind to the way God thinks and the way God looks at things. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus." Notice that they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. They begged Jesus to touch him. Now, this is one of the first things that I love about this verse, because Jesus is going to touch this man and then he's going to touch him a second time. But one of the things I love about this verse, because he is eventually going to see all things clearly. He's going to have a revival. He's going to see things the way they are meant to be seen. And God wants us to see things the way they are meant to be seen, from his point of view, from his perspective. But I want you to see that one of the things that created this miracle touch was this man somehow had gotten in one, whatever way he did this, he developed some relationships with people that cared enough about him to bring him to Jesus. You know, I call this the power of right associations. Who you surround yourself with matters. I'm reminded of in 1 Samuel 22, when men came to David, they came to him in debt, distressed, and discontent. They came to David the lion slayer, and they became lion slayers. They came to David, the one who defeated giants, and they became giant killers too. They started out in debt, distressed, and discontented, but they became the mighty men of David. Why? Because of the power of association. And here this man, now, who knows how he got these friends, but whatever it takes to have the kind of friends that will bring you to Jesus and beg him to heal you, to touch you. It's interesting that it says this way, that they brought this blind man to Jesus and implored him, begged him. Now, maybe this guy was such a nuisance to these friends that they just thought, we can't take this anymore. This guy is always coming to us with this problem. Let's take him to Jesus. Good enough. Who cares? However they got there, however he was in their life and they were in his life, that they brought him to Jesus. Get around people that'll bring you to Jesus. Get around people that are talking about Jesus. Get around people that are willing to go to bat for you, to back you up. Remember, we've been talking about how the anointing and the blessing is in the cluster of grapes. The new wine is in the cluster. The blessing is in the cluster. It's when you're connected in community, connected to the right people, connected in the right relationships. Boy, it's so important that we don't forget how the power of connection and the power of being connected to our church, the power of unity. You know, the Bible says that how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity, for there is the commanded blessing. Like, there is no place else for the blessing to go than to the people who are walking in this kind of unity. When brothers, sisters dwell together in unity of the same mind, with one passion to introduce people to the real Jesus. And that's what these guys were doing when they took this blind man to Jesus. The power of right associations. Are you ready for this touch? Now, I'm going to pray for you in a few moments, but I want you to see that the touch that you need in your life, the revival that you need in your life, it comes through this process of right associations, number one. Number two, it says, "And Jesus, taking the blind man by the hand, laid his hands on his eyes. He brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Now, let me go back for a moment to verse 23, taking the blind man by the hand. Now, the hand represents the healing. The hand represents the love of God. The hand represents the piercing that he took for your salvation, for my salvation. The hand, he took him by the hand. That represents leadership, Jesus leading this man. We have to be willing to be led. We have to let Jesus lead us. I believe that when you accept him as your Savior, when you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, you are saved. You are born again. But then there's another level of letting him lead you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And then what happens? He restores my soul. When you let him lead you, he will lead you to restoration. He will lead you to healing. He will lead you to revival. He will lead you to the best open doors that no man can close. He will lead you to the next level for your life. Who's ready to go to that next level? This touch is coming. Get ready. It's coming to you today. Notice what he says. It says, he took him by the hand. Again, the hand of Jesus. Anything that's in his hand is going to get better. This man starts out blind. Now Jesus is holding his hand. And that represents something to me. That's fellowship and intimacy. I've been talking to you for weeks, maybe months now, years, the last 2 or 3 years of this revival of intimacy, that everything in this Christian journey is all about our intimacy with God. It's all about communion with him. It's all about connection with him and connection with each other as well as a result of our connection with him. Boy, I love this verse that he took this man by the hand. I love his leadership. I welcome his leadership. It's divine. I want to emulate his leadership. It's so kind. I want to continue to let him lead me because he's never let me down. I've let myself down many times. Maybe I've let you down. I've let others down. But he's never let us down, has he? And it says he brought him out of the village. Now, there's something about here, there's something about this word that he brought him out of the village. Well, what village was this man in? He was in a village that he was familiar with. He was in a village that he was comfortable in. He was in a village where he remembered all of the things that reminded him of his blindness. You know, sometimes we're in a village of limitation. We're in a village of our own imprisonment. We're in a village of our past. We're in a village, we're staying in a village of who we used to be. We're staying in a village of being a victim. We're staying in the village of what other people say about us. We're staying in the village of low expectations. We're staying in the village of rejection, a village of fear, a village of worry, a village of anxiety. But notice what Jesus does. He leads us out of our limitations. He leads us out from the relationships where everybody knows us as blind and everybody limits us by our past and limits us by whatever seems to have kept you the same way, kept you caged to your shame, caged to your mistake, chained to your failures, chained to your past, chained to your previous DNA, the DNA of failure, the DNA of Adam and Eve that was passed down from generation to generation. It only takes one person to stop that curse, to stop that generational curse. Why not you? Why not come out from that village? It's interesting how God told Abraham, leave your father and leave your country and go to a land that I will show you. God wasn't against Abraham's father. He wasn't against Abraham's community. He was against Abraham's limitations. He was against Abraham telling himself the same story that he had grown up with. the limitations of being a nomad, the limitations of having a small little piece of territory when God wanted to give him all the land, and we're the seed of Abraham. And because we belong to Christ, we're Abraham's seed, we're heirs according to the promises of God. Whatever God promised to Abraham, he swore in his blood to fulfill in your life as well. According to Galatians 3:29, if we belong to Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. All right, so who's ready to leave the village of familiarity, the village of your own comfort zone, the village of your past and your pain? Jesus takes him by the hand and he brings him out of the village. Sometimes we just need him to just take us out of that particular situation, to get us out of that way of looking at ourselves. Oh, I hope that makes sense to you. And then Jesus, it says, he spit on his eyes. He spit on his eyes. Now, there's another place in Scripture where he kind of makes some mud with spit, right? But I think he just spit right in his eye here. It looks like he says, after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? Now, what does this tell us about Jesus spitting on this guy's eyes? Well, we know that if it's coming out of Jesus' mouth, if the spit's coming out of Jesus' mouth, it has to be what we're going to call holy spit. I know you've heard of that before, right? Holy spit. That's exactly what this has to be. It has to be holy spit. It's not, listen, we've taken enough. We've been full of enough of our own spit, haven't we? We've been filled with so much of everybody else's bull spit. But what we need right now is we need Jesus spit. We want whatever's coming out of his mouth to hit us in the eyes. We want whatever's coming out of his mouth, the words, the spit, the life, the energy, the power, the direction, the affection, the correction. We want whatever's coming out of his mouth to hit us right between the eyes, right in the eyes, right? And we want to see what we haven't been able to see before. Now, I want you to notice something here. So he takes the blind man by the hand, leadership. He brings him out of the village. That's like coming out of your past limitations. And then after spitting on his eyes, I just want us to just take a moment and realize that when God's word is coming forth, it's God's spit. It's God's, whatever's coming out of his mouth is what we should be wanting in our lives. And then it says he laid his hands on them, on his eyes, on him. And now I believe, right where you are, Jesus is touching you the way that he touched this man. Because if God is no respecter of persons, meaning he won't do for one and not do for another, or give to one but withhold from another. Whatever he did for one, he will do for another. Whatever he did for this man, he will do for you. You say, well, Jesus isn't here, but he is. He's in our midst where two or three are gathered. You say, well, Jesus, I don't feel his hands. Well, you know what? He's working through your hands. Put your hands on yourself for a moment and receive his touch. Or have the person next to you put their hand on you and receive his touch through them. I want you to realize that we can have what they had. We can have what Jesus gave to this man. We have been given the Spirit of God who's touching us from within and from without. And notice what it says. Then he asked this man, do you see anything? And the man said, he looked up and he said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking. Well, what does this speak to us? Tells us, it gives us some information that this man must have had vision before. Because how would he know what men looked like, and how would he know what trees looked like? Because if he now sees men like trees walking, then that means he knew what a tree looked like and he knew what a man looked like, which means at one time he had seen clearly, but now he's blind, but now he sees better than he did before Jesus laid his hands on him. And I want you to realize that maybe you were at a higher place or had greater momentum in your life, or you were living by the vision that God had put in your life, or you were seeing so much more progress in your life physically, relationally, financially, in whatever way, but you have missed out now, or you don't see things like you used to. You don't see as clearly. I want you to know that today, God is going to touch you and heal you and deliver you. And it says, Jesus, after this man said, "For I see men like trees walking," then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again. And one translation says, and he touched him a second time, the second touch. And he touched him again. He laid hands on him again. And the man looked intently, and it says, he was restored. And he began to see everything clearly. What happens here is that God's giving us some insight into how he works in our lives. The first touch that we receive from Jesus is often the touch. The first touch is the touch of salvation. The first touch is an introduction to a relationship with God. The second touch is restoration. The first touch, salvation. The second touch, restoration. God is in the business of restoring us and restoring our soul and restoring our sight to see things the way God sees them. You see, in this man's life, his eyes were healed first, then his brain was healed. You see, eyes take in images, but send images and impulses to the brain that the brain then has to interpret. So the blind man had lost his sight at some point in his life, but because both his eyes and his brain were damaged. So this description gives us a picture of his partial healing in a very clinical description of what's called visual agnosia. It's a condition in which the eyes work fine, but the brain can't sort out the jumbled images that it's receiving. It's kind of like a scrambled video transmission. What this is telling us is that no pre-20th century reader could have known, since this understanding was unknown to science until the late 19th century. The eyes and the brain needed to be healed. Jesus could have healed both instantly, but he didn't. This is why I believe that God is giving us a picture of how our brain has to catch up with what God wants us to see, and then our brain has to catch up with it. Our eyes and our brain both need to be healed. What we see and what we think both need to be healed, but it's a process, and it's something that we should not be discouraged about, but in fact, we should be encouraged that if you're not seeing things clearly yet, that's okay. You're in a process. If you don't have everything that you believe God intended you to have, it's okay because you're in a process. If you don't see people the right way, it's okay because it's a process. If you don't see yourself the right way, if you just see yourself like a tree or see others like a tree, it's okay. You're making progress. God's not giving up on you. He's here. He's present to touch you again. Well, if we could get a hold of this, that I believe that the breakthrough, that the revival that God wants to do in our lives, the second touch, this catching of our breath, this refreshing and reviving of our joy and our cheer and our life of meaning, it comes when we see things from God's perspective and when we have a mentality of purpose in our lives. We have to have our minds renewed to true purpose of people. He saw men like trees walking. You see, you don't see clearly when you see that men are like trees. When you see a person like a tree, that means a tree, what does a tree get? What happens to a tree? A tree gets chopped down. A tree gets cut up. A tree gets put in a fire. A tree is used to warm our hands. A tree is used to build our house. A tree is used to benefit our own life. And when we see people like trees, when we see others like trees, we're not seeing them the way God sees them. When we see that they are meant for me, they are in this world to make me better, to make me happier, to be the wood for my fire to be the wood for my home to be. No, we can't see people like that. We can't see people as something to get something from. That's how seeing a man like a tree, that's how I interpret that. God wants you to see people the way He sees them. People are everything to Him. God wants you to see things from His point of view. His perspective changes everything. Boy, I really hope that you are taking this in and you're excited for this second touch and hungry for this touch to see things clearly, to see yourself the way God sees you, to see others the way God sees them, to see Jesus the way He was meant to be seen, to know God the way He truly wants to be known, to see the world the way God sees it. The second touch of Jesus is to get us to see all things clearly. As I said, the first touch, salvation, the second touch, revival and restoration. The first touch, you're touched and changed by the Spirit of God. It's a miracle. The second touch, you're changed by the Word of God in your mind. It's a process. The first touch, you are transformed by the Spirit of God. Boy, I want you to see that. The first touch, you're touched and changed by the Spirit of God. It's a miracle. The second touch, you're touched and changed by the Word of God. It's a process. First touch, you're born again instantly. It's a miracle. Second touch, it's a process of seeing and hearing from God's Word, seeing things from God's point of view. It takes time. As we've talked about many times, you got to be patient with yourself. God is patient with you. Be patient with yourself. God is patient with your family. Be patient with your family. God is patient with the people you work with. Be patient with the people you work with. God is patient with you. He's patient with our families. He's patient. He doesn't want anybody to, as I've shared with you a few weeks ago, He doesn't want anybody lost. He doesn't want anybody to miss out on this gift of salvation. So what may seem like a slow process to us is because God is giving everybody a chance to be saved. God is giving everybody a chance to hear His voice. God is giving everybody a chance to be touched by Him. Wow. When we understand that the first touch is salvation, the second touch is revival and restoration, we'll be like ready for God, touch me with your word, touch me with your spit, touch me with, let it, whatever's coming out of your mouth, let it hit me right where it matters. I want to receive your love. I want to receive your kisses. I want to receive your wisdom. What comes from the mouth of Jesus? Affection. What comes from the mouth of Jesus? His breath. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. What comes out of Jesus' mouth? His words. Boy, His affection, His breath, His spirit, and His word are what make us whole. It's what makes us truly whole. What comes out of His mouth, we see. What comes out of His mouth, the kisses of affection. What comes out of His mouth, the breath of the Spirit. What comes out of Jesus' mouth is the words of God that no man has ever spoken. These words like this man. Boy, when we get a hold of the affection of God, and we get a hold of the breath of God, and we get a hold of the Word of God, we experience the revival of love and the revival of intimacy and the revival of true fellowship and relationship with God, a revival of closeness, a revival of truly being close with God, truly being intimate with Him. Oh, to receive His kisses. He kisses us with the gift of salvation. He kisses us with the gift of righteousness. He kisses us with His approval and affection. You are my beloved son. You are my dearly loved child. God says that over Jesus. And if He says it over Jesus, if we belong to Christ, and as He is, so are we in this world, right? So whatever He says to Jesus, He's saying to us as well. You're my dearly loved child. That's the approval. That's the affection. We stop seeking other people's approval and needing and being clingy to other people's affection. When we get it from God, then we can give it more freely. Boy, I think about what comes out of Jesus' mouth. That's revival. That's fullness. That's intimacy. What comes out of his mouth? Three things. What comes out of his mouth, I just want to close reminding you of these three things I've been sharing over the last few moments. What comes out of his mouth first is the kisses of his affection, the kisses of his acceptance, the kisses of his approval. The second thing that comes out of his mouth is the breath of his Spirit. Boy, we need to breathe in. We know the Spirit of God lives inside of us, but when we pray in the Holy Spirit and when we speak God's word, it activates the power of God. When we worship him, it activates the power of God. So the breath comes out of his mouth, the breath of the Spirit, and then the words of wisdom and the word, the living word of God, that his word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Wow. If we will breathe in his affection and his acceptance, if we will breathe in the breath of his Spirit, if we will breathe in the words of his mind from Scripture, we will truly see ourselves the way he sees us. We will see him the way he wants to be seen, and we will see others the way that God wants us to see them, with compassion, with empathy, with kindness, with patience, with God's purpose in mind, not ours. Amen. Let me pray for you, and let's receive this touch. Father, we thank you for those that need the first touch of salvation. I pray for each one who is watching today that they've never been sure that they're saved. I pray for them today, Lord. Give them this assurance of their salvation. Just pray this if you want to be saved. This is the first touch. Just pray this out loud. You want to be sure you're going to heaven when you die. Heavenly Father, just say that out loud. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. Amen. It's that simple. He did all the work. We simply receive him into our life. That's the first touch. Now, who's ready for that second touch? That second touch of his affection, whatever comes out of his mouth, the affection, whatever comes out of his mouth, the breath of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever comes out of his mouth, the word of God, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is full of the wisdom of God. The word of God is the mind of God, how he sees things, how he thinks, and how he does. Right now, in the name of Jesus, right where you're sitting, right where you're listening, right where you're standing, right where you are this moment, I pray that this second touch, this breath of the Spirit of God would touch you. I pray that his affection and his approval would touch you so deep, in the deepest places of your life that nobody else has gotten to. And I pray for the Word of God to be the breath and the mind and the way that you think from this moment forward, in alignment, in agreement with what God says, in Jesus' name. Receive that second touch. Just say, Jesus, I receive your breath, your touch, your approval, your affection. I receive your Spirit. I receive your words, your mind, your brain, the mind of Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stay in this together. Let's stay in this process which produces progress. Let's stay in this community where the cluster and the anointing and the new wine of all that God has for you, the wine of his covenant, the wine of his promises. Let's stay in the cluster. Let's stay in the community. Let's stay connected. And I can't wait to see you at our next service. If you need anything, reach out to us in whatever format that you have available to you. We are here for you. God love you. I love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.